The Draft NBA Podcast. Today is February 12th. I'm your host, Nate. Here are my co-hosts,
Aaron Jackson.
So we got a lot to cover. A lot of, you know, the guys that just got traded made their debuts. The All-Star break is coming up, so it's a short week. So let's hop right into the main storyline of the weekend. The Cavs destroyed the Celtics in Boston with their new little crew going.
I mean, just annihilated them, and they look like a completely different team now. We had suspicions last week that with all these trades, Cleveland is now the clear number one. We weren't quite sure how it was going to look on the court. And after that game, I'm ready to say they are the clear number one now. They played great defense. The offense looked great. All the additions worked out. I mean, it is only one game, but they looked amazing.
And they just look to be having fun. Like, you got LeBron on the bench going crazy. Jordan Clarkson's a young, energetic guy. They just looked at everything that was plaguing them, all the locker room issues, looked to be just like this change, this new faces in the locker room is just exactly what they needed.
Yeah, LeBron saying, you know, I'm just glad to have people around me who want to win again. Garnett was courtside. A reporter picked up him talking to LeBron saying, you guys look completely different out there. A lot of big Celtics were there. They were retiring Paul Pierce's jersey after the game. So it was kind of funny that LeBron ruins that ceremony by destroying them, as LeBron has ruined a lot of moments for Paul Pierce over the years.
Yeah, although Pierce got him a few times too. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of the secondary storyline in the game. But really, the Cavs just look totally like a new team. And it's going to be really fun to watch them going forward because they're only going to get better from here. And these young players, like you saw Rodney Hood and Clarkson, both getting so many wide open shots. And it's like, you know, they haven't been playing good teams their whole career. This has to be just such a good experience for them. And one game, they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see this moving forward. A little sad that I think this means for sure now we're getting what we all thought we were getting. You know, Celtics Warriors in the chip. That's probably back to where we are at the beginning of the season.
Cavs Warriors, man.
Cavs Warriors, yeah.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the other part of the Cleveland trade, which was trading Isaiah Thomas to the Lakers. So Magic Johnson came out and said that, no, he's not going to start. Lonzo will start. But even with Lonzo out, IT still did not start. And it was a pretty good debut, 31 minutes off the bench, 22 points. But they lost to the Mavericks. They gave up 130 points, which I feel like is not being talked about. Isaiah's defense was, you know, the problem early on in the season. It's like he can't guard anybody. When he's on the floor, they get outscored so much, and, you know, he's had no defensive pressure. And look, 130 points to the Mavericks, it's not great.
It's terrible is what it is. And I didn't know you were going to bring up the defense because I was going to bring up the defense. It was terrible. And yeah, like you said, that was the whole problem in Cleveland is that they wouldn't play defense when he was out there. And now it's transferring over to when he's on the court for the Lakers. The Lakers were a good defensive team before this trade. Now all of a sudden IT's out there and they forgot how to play defense. It's shocking. Like he's almost the worst player on any team he goes to at this point, which is insane thinking about what he was before.
Yeah, defensively, he's really just a liability. But, you know, it was one game. We're going to wait till Lonzo gets back to really judge him more from a fantasy point. But until Lonzo does get back, I would say, you know, there's definitely some upside to Isaiah. He's not anything special. Like, there's a ton of guards I'd rather over him. But, you know, I think that he can get into kind of a scoring groove for sure.
Yeah, and talking about having fun, he did look like he was having more fun playing for the Lakers than he was for the Cavs. They had the ball in his hand a lot more. He's dishing out, you know, which is his natural position. So, you know, like you said, one game, let's see if it evolves.
Yeah, it is kind of funny to me that, you know, he's having so much fun, yet they lost to the Mavericks, and he was having so little fun playing on the Cavs. And even though they weren't really winning with him, like, they're still, like, one of the best teams in the league and, you know, one of, if not the favorites to make the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. Like, it's just funny that that's what he needed to have fun. He needed to go to a bad team and lose a game by giving up 130 points.
I just think it's a better fit there with the Lakers. I don't think Tyronn Lue tried to work him into the system with the Cavs at all. They didn't pick and roll with him like he was used to from the Celtics. I honestly think it was doomed from the start. So it'll be interesting to see how the Lakers work him in and see if he gets better as the season goes.
Yep, so stat line of the weekend. Anthony Davis on Saturday in an overtime win against the Nets. 44 points, 17 rebounds, 6 steals, 3 blocks, 91.4 fantasy points. I'm sure if you had him on Saturday, you probably won your matchup.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. I was so mad at myself because I was sitting on my couch and I was about to buy tickets to this game and I was like, and I backed out the last second. Would have been a great game to go see. The double overtime. Another great stat line, Alan Crabb. He was trending on Twitter, and that was hilarious to me because he went 8 for 18 from 3 for 28 points and was just going nuts in the second half. But yeah, as Brooklyn does, they still ended up losing the game.
Yeah, a little fun game to watch on a Saturday, you know, not such big implications, but still very fun. Anthony Davis, obviously, is a monster. All right, so we got another player that was traded to Phoenix, Elfrid Payton. He actually had a very nice debut from a fantasy point. 35 minutes, which is great. 19 points, 9 assists for 36.7 fantasy points. He's averaging 30.16 fantasy points on the season. So he went a little above that, but that's not a bad average. And, you know, what do you think of him going forward?
I think he's a great fantasy option going forward. Obviously, you know, a head-to-head draft, you're probably not going to pick him up. But in like a six-man draft, he's certainly a good option. I mean, we're talking about a Suns team that has, especially when Booker's out there, has a lot of scorers. And they never had anybody to pass these scorers the ball yet this year. And now they have somebody. 9 assists in the first game without really knowing the offense. I think we'll just see that number go up. I think he's a great option.
Yeah, so now taking it to another guard who recently changed teams, Emmanuel Mudiay for the Knicks. So he had his debut, and you saw Jarrett Jack totally, you know, 8 minutes, which is kind of not surprising. It's kind of surprising that they took so long to get him into that lower minutes because they're clearly not going anywhere. But they're going to go with the youth. They're going to go with Frank and Mudiay together, like, almost exclusively in the backcourt. And Mudiay had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
14 points, 10 assists.
Yeah, I have to bring this up because just to let you guys know, Nate is the one that kind of gives us our talking points and stuff today. He tried to sneak this by me without putting Mudiay in the talking points because last week I said I thought he was going to be a great fit. Nate didn't really agree. And guess what? He had a great first game coming off the bench. Like Nate said, though, for some reason, Jack's still getting the start, even though he only played 8 minutes. But I think he's going to be a great fit for this team. 14 points, 10 assists off the bench. And hopefully this means we won't see Jack starting anymore. I think it's terrible for the Knicks for him to be out there. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what he can keep doing for us.
Yeah, no, this could rejuvenate Moody's career. And, you know, you're right. I kind of got by me a little bit because, look, it's, you know, it's the Knicks. They're kind of done. But for a fantasy point, he has a pretty good opportunity here. He's got the ball in his hands a ton. He's pretty much the only facilitator on the entire team, so it's really not so bad.
Yeah, so let's look ahead to what we got going on tonight.
Yep, so we got 6 games tonight. We got a few injuries. LaMarcus Aldridge is out with a knee injury. Ricky Rubio also out. Draymond Green, doubtful. Devin Booker has missed the past few games. He's questionable. He's someone who, playing the Warriors, I mean, who knows how many minutes he's going to play. He might be a little rusty. I'm kind of pumping the brakes on that.
Make sure to just keep track of your swaps out there. Be sure to check in on your lineups if you have any of those 3 guys, 4 guys. And, you know, if anything comes through late, to make sure you're around so you can make a swap out. Not too much, I think I would really worry about, except for Draymond's probably not going to play, so I probably wouldn't draft him. Looking good for tonight for all of the bigger stars like Curry, Durant, Drummond, Davis, all those guys. Looking good.
Yep, so, you know, we always have a nice focal point on the centers on this show because it really changed, you know, it's the whole strategy of the draft with the one center. So after 1 and 2, Drummond and Embiid, there's pretty much a huge drop-off. So I would say in a head-to-head, don't really reach for either of them. Be happy that you're going to get one of the two. But in a 3 or 4 person draft, you could, you know, convince me to take Drummond or Embiid very high, and in a 4+ person draft, they could be as high as pick number one.
Yeah, actually, the other guy that is in that bunch that drops down low is Cantor. I think he's way undervalued here today. I think you can wait for Cantor to in a 3-person draft and be happy. But obviously, Drummond is going to be your pick if you think he's going to do that much better than he's worth reaching for.
And Cantor's playing Embiid, so I think that's a very tough matchup for Cantor. Embiid's obviously a monster.
Actually, even though Embiid puts up a ton of points, they aren't really good defensively-wise against the center position. I'm not really sure why that is, because obviously Embiid is a great player, but it just seems statistically the opposing center seems to put up points whenever they play. So we'll have to see.
Yep. And so in addition to Drummond, Embiid, and Cantor, the other few options at center are Gobert and DeAndre Jordan. So really a defensive, you know, not going to score much, but they can get some blocks and some rebounds for sure.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about DeAndre, actually. Yeah. He's a great pickup tonight, too. Going against Brooklyn, they're terrible at center. Yeah, DeAndre is fine. Now that I think about it, yeah, maybe center's pretty deep tonight.
Well, I think that the middle of the pack is kind of deep, but you know, when you look at the projections, Drummond's projected 51.5, Embiid's projected 47, and then Gobert is number 3 and projected 35. So that's a 12-point difference from Embiid to Gobert.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll all be watching tonight and have to see how that plays out.
Yep. All right. So I want to put a focal point on Steph Curry for tonight. His last 3 games have actually been kind of pedestrian, you know, not awful by any means, but not like Steph Curry. He's at 37, 36, and 37 fantasy points. So I think he might be due for a huge game at home against the Suns. The Suns are one of, if not the worst defensive team in the league. Curry eats them up. They, you know, I just could see him having one of those Steph Curry vintage games tonight.
Yeah, you picked him up fast in our head-to-head, which we'll get into in a little bit. And I was a little surprised by that. We're on the exact opposite spectrum here. He hasn't been playing well lately. I do agree that the Suns are not good. And so that usually means good things for the opposing team. But I think they're so not good that, you know, how much will we see Curry, Durant out there in the fourth quarter? I think we see a pretty big blowout, and he might not play as much. So that might factor into your decision as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so now I want to put the focal point on another player, another Nick, Beasley. You know, we've been talking about him without Kristaps Porzingis and how he's been doing. 2 games without Porzingis, he's at 41.9 and 36.1. So he plays tonight against the 76ers. I think he's, you know, fire him up as a pretty good forward option.
Yeah, again, in our head-to-head, you picked him up, which I thought was a little surprising, but I also see it. Yeah, he's putting up big numbers with Porzingis out. He has the potential to go off any night. He's putting up these numbers, and he hasn't really, like, done his go-off day yet. Like, he can just show up and put up, you know, 50 points pretty easily, I think. So I think we're just waiting to see that happen.
Yeah, for sure. Any other players you like tonight that are kind of off the radar, not such highly projected players?
I mean, it's interesting to see what Mirotić will do. He's kind of been hit or miss. Last game, he had a huge game, but obviously that was, you know, double overtime.
Yeah, so that 61.7 fantasy points last game. That's a great effort.
Yeah, so that kind of bumps you up when there's double overtime. But, I mean, he's had some bad games along since he's been on that team too. So, but I mean, he's definitely somebody I could see reaching for, because he can put up 60 fantasy points. Obviously Blake's going to be on everybody's radar, already, but he's a great forward option tonight. But yeah,
I like Tobias Harris tonight also. You know, he's from New York, so he's coming home to play in Brooklyn. He's projected 29, but since he switched teams, he's been doing pretty well. His last 3 games, 36, 27, and 36. So I think, you know, it may be a little bit of a deeper draft. You know, there's a bunch of forwards right ahead of him, but I think that he's a pretty good pick, especially in a deeper draft.
All right. So we always go over our head-to-head drafts to end the podcast. So tonight, I started off with the first pick. And pretty, I think pretty straightforward first pick here in a head-to-head is Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was the clear first pick. Now, in a bigger draft, not head-to-head, I actually would very possibly go Drummond or even Embiid. But in a head-to-head, wait on the centers. You'll be happy with either one. So I took KD and Curry back-to-back, again, avoiding the centers.
Yeah, and the forwards are fairly limited in this draft. If you're, again, depending on how many you're doing, it's not super deep in the forward position. The top is very nice, but the mid-bottom is not so nice. So I ended up going Blake Griffin and then Ben Simmons. I don't love drafting Ben Simmons just because he can be very hit or miss, so I'm just hoping tonight's a hit.
Yeah, so just like Aaron said, the forwards are very top-heavy, so now Anthony Davis, KD, and Blake Griffin are already gone, so I'm looking at which forward I want, and the best options were Beasley, Mirotić, Saric, Warren, you know, Tobias a little lower. So I took Beasley. I think Beasley's a pretty good play, you know. As I've been saying, he's going to get a ton of volume pretty much every game. And he's someone who's probably licking his chops every night because, you know, he loves to get up shots. He loves to score. So I think he's a pretty good play there.
Yeah, I think Beasley is the right pick there. Not so sure about the Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, that was my next pick. You know, I think Donovan Mitchell is probably a bigger name, but he played last night. He's going against the Spurs, a great defensive team. So, you know, I was like, you know what? Dinwiddie's actually been very good. His last game, you know, again, the double overtime game, but he had 48.8. The game before that, he had 32. And the game before that, he had 41. So I think he has a pretty good chance to get 40-plus.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell looked great last night against Portland. I don't know if anybody watched that game, but he outshined Lillard pretty much in every way. Just a really impressive rookie to get a little sidetracked there. But yeah, I finished up my draft with picking my center. As we said, I think you're happy with either Drummond or Embiid, but I was ready to take Drummond here. And then I filled out my draft with my last point guard spot with Lou Williams. Obviously going against Brooklyn, the potential to score a ton of points there tonight.
Yep, and I finished it with Embiid.
All right, guys, that's the podcast for today. We'll be watching the games along with you guys and see what happens, and check back with us on Wednesday.
Yep, we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Have a great day.